You know, what I've learned about how to create an over-unity circuit is not too much different than conventional familiarity with spark gaps and neon bulbs, who operate on a similar but not exactly the same principle, in which they also may produce the reversal of current. It's this phenomenon of the reversal of current that helps invert impedance into negative impedance and thus cause voltage differences to increase rather than decrease and hence become a voltage source. So the way a neon bulb or a spark gap operates, you have to apply a certain minimum pressure of voltage to overcome resistance in order to achieve the reversal of current. But in my designs of over-unity, I find that there is an additional feature, or shall I say, an additional geometry to the situation, in addition to the resistance of the gap within a spark gap, in order to undermine the necessity that a spark gap requires of how to produce reversal of current, and make it possible, instead of requiring a certain minimum voltage to overcome resistance to achieve reversal of current, now we end up doing the opposite. We have to supply very little voltage, up to a certain maximum, which is quite low, and thus be able to achieve efficient levels of efficiency that a spark gap alone cannot achieve. And this additional geometry that makes all of this over-unity possible is the shorted loop at the end of an open transmission line. Now, in a sense, a spark gap is already an open transmission line, but of relatively elevated impedance or resistance that has to be overcome in order for reversal of current to occur. But when you put a short at the terminal or both terminals of an open transmission line, you create a place for current to go without going anywhere. It certainly doesn't have to go back to the source. It simply goes around and around its shorted loop at one or both terminals of an open transmission line. And that satisfies the demand that electricity makes upon our design of a circuit, in which you have to have a throughput in order to encourage the formation of current. But in my experience, it's not necessary to send current back to the source, and it's not necessary to have a throughput throughout the circuit to encourage the formation of current. Quite the opposite. I discourage the formation of current, and I discourage the return of current going back to the source. And yet I still satisfy the requirement of the formation of current to uphold Ohm's law by creating a short at one or both terminals of an open transmission line. And that satisfies the entire outcome, that we must have a throughput of current without actually allowing it within the entirety of the circuit. Instead, we segregate it. We alienate it. We alienate current from the circuit and put it somewhere and kind of try to forget about it, try to push it out of our awareness because it's not required in order to achieve over-unity. We only need it where the load is located, which is going to be another isolated, electrically isolated section of the circuit, in order to get a balance between voltage and current that is reasonable and not just strictly high voltage and hardly any current like one can achieve very readily in a Tesla coil, the so-called modern-day version of a Tesla coil that everybody is familiar with. And this is a very interesting technique because it's as if different sections of the circuit are communicating with each other, as if they all exhibit consciousness. I mean, I know it's, we can say, strictly speaking, oh yeah, the math supports it, yeah, blah, 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 and all of the different Kirchhoff laws and blah, blah, blah. But when looked at from an anthropomorphic point of view, namely a humanistic point of view, it certainly does exhibit the qualities of consciousness, one of the qualities of consciousness, and that is communication among isolated circumstances that are unique in what they're doing. They don't all have to do the same thing, and the throughput, you know, the throughput doesn't have to be spread around everywhere. And this is very interesting because it speaks of a kind of way of satisfying Ohm's law without actually satisfying it. You know, it's like saying, okay, we can get by having humans that are not the same as each other. Yet when they operate together as a unit, they make a whole, such as a man and a woman in a marriage. You know, they're neither one of them can be defined as a human. They're like a deviant human, because each one is different than the other. Not to a large degree, maybe, but to a certain degree, in which they're not duplicating each other's existence, because they have a certain uniqueness to them. And yet, put them together and you get a family of children, something you wouldn't get otherwise, by at least conventional standards. We're not all yogis that we can materialize things such as the bodies of new people or dematerialize them when it's time for them to leave. But we can have sex and have children and a family. It's only because of the uniqueness of two types of humans coming together to create that event of the birth of another human being. And it's kind of like that in a circuit, in which I have learned to segregate high current, low voltage from areas of high voltage, low current, and yet still have them communicate with each other close enough together, associated with each other as neighbors, so that they can communicate and satisfy Ohm's law, even though they're segregated from each other in locale. You know, they're still electrically connected or magnetically connected or both, but they're behaving in a very odd fashion, a very highly specialized fashion, in which the shorted loop encourages current, while the open transmission line encourages voltage. Now, in thinking this over, I realized that my build, my current build, is flawed in one additional way, on top of all the other flaws that I found in it, in not fulfilling the simulation, the expectation that has been mapped out in advance by the simulation of this circuit phenomenon that I'm speaking of, this over-unity circuit phenomenon. And that is that the shorted loop has to be a loop that is a short, namely it cannot have any resistance. Now, I'll make a comparison between what I'm doing wrong and what the right way is. An example of the right way is the motor I took apart from an AC, a single-phase induction motor that I took apart from a kitchen appliance. It's a ice cream machine making machine. Nostalgia is the brand, and you can find them online. You know, you can find them in a Walmart. It's a bucket, an outer plastic bucket and an inner aluminum bucket, and you put your ice cream mixture ingredients inside the inner aluminum bucket, and you put ice and salt in the space between the inner aluminum bucket and the outer plastic bucket, and then there's a paddle that goes on the inside of the anyway. I'm getting off topic and making of ice cream. I guess I want some. So the motor has an armature of laminated iron plates that are, each one is coated in Bakelite to isolate each layer so as to reduce eddy currents. Yet, they are solid metal plates encouraging eddy currents within each plate. And it guides the eddy current in a specific direction, namely around. It encourages only to go around the armature and not go in any other direction. Now, perforated through the armature are holes made on the inside and grooves on the outside so that a double winding of very stout solid core copper wire can be formed, almost melted into position very tightly, going through the holes on one turn and along the outer groove on the second turn, and the two ends are layered on top of each other almost as if they're welded. It's bare copper core. There's no insulation and there's no solder. Important point: no solder is used. Compare that lack of resistance on that shorted loop, which is where I got this knowledge from in the first place, was studying this motor that I took apart out of this nostalgia ice cream machine. The need to have shorted loops in the circuit. Now, these shorted loops are for the purposes of initiating the correct direction of rotation of an AC single-phase induction motor. Otherwise, it'll just vibrate. It'll oscillate. It'll shake back and forth, not traveling very far and mostly doing a lot of shaking. But Tesla figured out how to get an AC motor to rotate by creating what is called starter coils. And it's not only that they are wound in the manner that they are, but there's an additional feature is that they are wound at a diagonal. So they're not at right angles to anything. They're at 45 degrees. And they're both in the same direction of 45 degrees if you travel around the armature perspective, so as to encourage the rotation of the rotor on the interior of this armature in the correct direction. So they both face the same direction of 45 degrees. Now compare that with what I've done so far. I have two current coils, stout 10 gauge copper solid core insulated wire. In my case, it's insulated. Maybe it shouldn't be. And the two ends, though, this is the part I want to focus on. The two ends, the terminals of each coil, are joined together. I made use of ferromagnetizable iron plate that I got from the hardware store that are in the hinge section of the hardware store. There's no hinge. It's just a square plate with four holes in it for bolts or set screws. And I used ferromagnetizable iron bolts and washers and nuts. But think about it. Galvanic response between iron and copper is voltage. It may be a few hundred millivolts, but regardless, it's voltage nonetheless. And from my experience, voltage and resistance, even though we see them and define them as two different entities or phenomenon, yet they are equivalent. One causes the other, and it's bidirectional causation. Voltage causes resistance. Resistance causes voltage. It goes both ways. Now, this means that I've created resistance. I've created a solder joint in my shorted loop, which is no longer a short. It has a load. And it's that galvanic response that is the load, which undermines the credibility or the non-fallibility of creating a short when you did not create a short. You just fooled yourself into thinking, oh, I made a short because I looped it around twice and joined the two ends. No, you have to get rid of the resist. There cannot be. I went to all that trouble to have a 10-gauge copper solid core wire. Now I've undermined the whole point of not having any resistance in that loop. So that's an oversight on my part, and I'm going to have to redo that connection when I get the chance. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. At least I have this time in which I cannot work on it, that it gives me time to think about, or just, you know, my subconscious is working on it. Who knows how this operates? But the problems, the mysteries of what I'm doing wrong, I guess can and will get solved. It just takes a little patience to wait around for the solution to arise. I operate on inspiration. I can't force. Okay, I can't say, okay, I'm going to sit down now and spend 3 hours and solve the problem. Because I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm an intuitive person, and I also don't even like details. I like the big picture, generalities. So that's because I like to see the interconnections across broad spectrum among differing things. So this is a whole area of expertise that I don't possess, and so I have to be patient with myself. And you have to be patient with me too, and a lot of people are not. Oh, build it already. Oh, you didn't build it. It didn't work. Oh, it's not true. You know, it's just a theory. But theories can't be true unless they can be manifest. Otherwise, they would not be theories. They'd be hypotheses. So, you know, whatever. So this is one problem I have that I have to fix. But it's only one, because I already know of another problem I have to fix. And that is my inclusion of an iron core creating eddy currents that are not electrically connected to the circuit to justify or transform the existence of an iron core into an inductor that is connected to the circuit. This I have to do also. I have to scrape away the insulation on the two ends of the 3-pound hand weights that I got from Walmart that serves as my iron core, because it's ferromagnetizable. I don't know if it's solid iron. I don't know if it's powder core. I won't know till I scrape off the rubber insulation. So if it's powder core, it's already the wrong core. So it's just as well that I have to scrape it off to see what the core is, but also to connect it to, in parallel to the iron coils that are serving as the voltage coils, you know, creating impedance, you know, or resistance, because it's 26-gauge wire. More than 2,000 windings on each, and iron has resistance 6 times greater than copper, so I'm doing everything I can to increase resistance, but I didn't figure on the iron core creating eddy currents that are discombobulated. You know, they're going in all kinds of directions. They're not organized in a helical fashion, which is what we do when we create a winding. And so this discombobulation wastes energy, because now energy of the circuit is going into the core and not producing anything useful. Worst of all, it's actually creating a break, a magnetic braking mechanism that's going to, a braking mechanism wouldn't be bad within the voltage coil, now that I think of it. But it is discombobulated because it's going in all kinds of directions and not in an organized helical fashion, in concert with the iron coils that I went to so much trouble to wind in the as it is. So yeah, my connections are suspect then, at least the connections on the copper coils. I don't know about anything else, and also my lack of connections to the iron core, and also my ignorance, third point, as to whether or not the iron core is a solid iron core, or is it something I don't want, such as a powder iron core. So those are three mysteries I have to solve or correct. They're either a mystery, or they're a problem, or they're both. An error or a mystery, or both. And I guess that's what the point of this recording is all about, is laying bare what room for improvement is required of me to make in an attempt to make the circuit work as an over-unity circuit. Because it does work in theory. It's not a hypothesis. It's just a question of figuring out the translation between simulation and the real world.